Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregations, we wish to sing together a Psalter 115, the stanzas 1 and 2. Spans the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? And what follows? Psalter 115, the stanzas 1 and 2. Portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 6, First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 6. And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold the pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We hope to remember in prayer the family of Mr. and Mrs. Conrad and Gertrude Van Essa, with the death of her father, Gerrit Roos, in the Netherlands at the age of 71 years, and Mrs. Lisbeth van de Breinhost, with the death of her brother-in-law, Jan Parkhurst, in the Netherlands at the age of 88 years, and the friends of Mr. Wim van Waathuizen, with his death in Bethesda at the age of 85 years. Oh, let us try to ask the Lord for His indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, Thou who sittest on Thy throne in the heavens, are clothed with honor and with majesty, and who directeth, governs, and ruleth all things here below. Then it has pleased Thee in Thy loving kindness and in the way of Thy patient long-suffering to grant unto us and our children another Lord's Day, and then each Lord's Day by renewal, and then we may remember that the Lord is risen indeed. To that end, the sun is risen in this morning, and the day is not come, as we have heard out of Thy holy word, when the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall turn to blood, and Thy dear Son shall come upon the great white throne to judge the quick and the dead. It is because there is still a church that must and shall be gathered by word and by spirit. Therefore Thou wast given another Lord's Day. Then Thou wast yet made a difference where there is no difference, where the names of three have just been mentioned, who on the last Lord's Day, then their soul was still dwelling together with their body, but now their souls in this past week, that separation has come. Their souls have been brought into eternity. One has been laid in the grave in the day of yesterday, and the other two in this week, Lord. Then we commend those mourning families unto Thee. Remember the father and mother with the death of their dear father, and where the separation has been felt and experienced in a special way, wilt Thou continue to uphold, wilt Thou comfort, and that the calling may be sanctified. A widow who has lost her brother-in-law by the cold hand of death, wilt Thou also remember her in her widowhood, grant a place at Thy footstool where she may come with her sorrow, with her needs, with her sins. Then it has pleased Thee also in the past week to take a member away by the cold hand of death out of the midst of our congregations and out of the midst of Bethesda. Then we commend our care home unto Thee, whereas in a large family circle among old and young, then by renewal an empty place has come. Then Thou wert speaking in a special way. May the calling be sanctified to our elderly ones where they have come, to the evening of their life. Wilt Thou sanctify the calling to all those who may lovingly care for our elderly ones. Wilt Thou remember the distant family members. O Lord, and then what maketh us and our children to differ? And then in the past week, thou wast taken the old away, and thou wast spared the young. But for each and every one of us, there is only a step between us and death. We humbly ask thee, in the latter days of the earth, that thou may do a great work amongst us, that thou may convert us and our children, as thou doth convert all thy people, Lord. May the means of grace, may they be used to that end in this very hour. Then by renewal, then the circumstances are so different that for most of our members, and not unable to go up with the multitude to keep holy day, already the sixth Lord's Day, may there be a people that may be burdened, that may be troubled, that may be given to cry unto thee. May there be souls in this very hour, what we have sung together with the psalmist out of thy holy word, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul, O living God, for thee. Then it is so necessary that thou indeed becomes the living God in our life, Lord. Then thou continuest to speak unto us in special ways. May we be given to receive ears to hear. Oh, unstop those plugged ears. May we receive hearts to perceive. May our hearts be opened. May we be given to say as a little Samuel speak, for thy servant heareth. Then thou wert waiting to be gracious, waiting till we may come in that right place. Then we read of the inhabitants of Nineveh, when thou wast sent thy prophet 40 days, and the city shall be overthrown, that they have believed God. Then already so oftentimes, so many years, we have heard of thy approaching judgments, that the footsteps of the king are being noticed, and we have not believed thee. And now thou have come with thy judgments upon the whole earth, also upon us and our children. And Lord, may we be given to resemble that large city of Nineveh, that they have put on sackcloth. The king is sat in the midst of the ashes. The commandment was given that man and beast, that they would be given to cry mightily unto thee. And who can tell, Lord, thou knowest what a wayward people we have become, but all leave us not over to ourself. Give not over to the hardening of the heart. Come down with thy spirit. Make us to repent. Then it is necessary that we are given to see the evil of our ways, the sinfulness of sin, and that it is committed against such a good doing, but also such a righteous God, who cannot overlook one sin, Lord. May there have also been souls in the past week that have sought out a secret place and that have cried mightily unto Thee, with a confession that we are so unworthy, we grieve Thee so oftentimes, but whether it may yet please Thee to show a little mercy, Lord, may Thou use these solemn callings for the coming of Thy glorious kingdom and the glory of Thy great and worthy name. Leave us not untouched, not unmoved, not with a heart that is as hard as another millstone, but may there be that softening and that crying mightily unto Thee, the living God, that it may please Thee to work richly amongst us and our children. Then it is written in Thy holy word of the beginning of sorrows. We humbly ask Thee in this morning hour that Thy word may go forth with power divine, that our boys and our girls, our young people, our middle-aged and our elderly, that they may be converted by Thee unto Thee. Uncover false foundations, those false and those secret hopes. But wilt Thou also remember Thy Zion? They also have to learn that even under Thy judgments, that they can see the place lie, know the place where they ought and where they must come, but now to come there, that is Thy work, but also to confess when we are not on that place, that it is all our fault, all our guilt, Lord. May the tears begin to flow by the seriousness, the reality, the solemnity of life upon all our hearts. There is but a step between us and death, and except we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We need to become what we are, and that is a poor, a needy, a hell-worthy sinner. May there be many amongst us, for those poor and needy ones, then it may be declared that the Lord is risen indeed. He has suffered and died. He has cried out, it is finished. But now as the risen Lord, then He gathers, defends, and preserves His church. Wilt Thou remember all the congregations in this area? Remember Thy servants, elders, and deacons, so dependent upon Thee for everything. May we feel more and more our dependency. Lord, remember all the needs. Wilt Thou remember and comfort all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Wilt thou remember our elderly ones in the care home, bound to their home, in their lonely station? May it please thee to visit them in thy grace, and may they be given to remember and meditate upon all the good and the precious things of which thou wast left in their midst. Remember the sick, the afflicted, under the doctor's care, with that dreaded disease. We commend them all unto thee. Then we remember all the sick, the seriously sick in this province. Wilt thou remember all those that labor in the medical field? And then we may acknowledge thee that in the midst of much sickness and many fears, that at the moment in our congregations, as far as we know, that there are none in the hospital in the past weeks, very few, then thou art still watching over us, then we may humbly ask thee, if it may be according to thy holy will, to continue to place a fiery wall round about us. Remember especially our elderly, and if thy way would be different, that thou may grant that submission. Above all, remember our never-dying souls. Wilt thou remember all our family circles, bind in true love together between husbands and wives, between parents and children? When it is not so, may it please thee to grant it in these solemn times, while it can yet and while it may yet. May it please thee to continue to provide the daily bread for our family circles. There is much anxiety and many fears. May our eyes then be upon thee. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help. In this morning hour, anoint us with fresh oil from above. May our eyes be upon the King of the Church, unto whom is given all power in heaven and upon earth. May it please thee to grant Aaron's and hers among young and old. Wilt thou remember all the listeners, though the few that may come up to thy house, but the majority that is called upon to listen along in their homes? Wilt thou remember the family circles? For our little boys and girls, it is so different, and it is so strange. But wilt thou also help them? Thou only needeth one word. But what our boys and girls need, that our youth, the middle-aged, and the elderly need. And then, Lord, by renewal we have to confess that there is no worthiness in us. We can confess it with our lips. May it be experienced in this day in our hearts, and yet a cry unto thee for mercy. Our sins, they are great and manifold. Oh, remember us then with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 124, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King Divine. The extra collection today is for the building and maintenance fund. Psalter 124, the first four stanzas. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Revelation 6, the verses 1 through 8. And we shall read the verses 1 and 2. And I saw when the Lord opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Our text words speak of the Apostle John's stirring vision of the four horses on the island of Patmos, with four thoughts. In the first place, the white horse. In the second place, the red horse. In the third place, the black horse. And in the fourth place, the pale horse. The Apostle John's stirring vision of the four horses on the island of Patmos. Four simple thoughts that our boys and girls, that they can remember them. The white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. Beloved congregations, our text words have been taken out of the book of Revelation. And that speaks of the time between the day of Pentecost to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ shall come upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. It speaks of that warfare that has been declared in Genesis 3, verse 15, between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And as the world shall draw to a close, then that warfare shall greatly increase. We read in Genesis 2, verse 1, that the heavens and the earth were finished. The Lord has finished that work of creation. And creation, not excluding any of the persons, but especially ascribed unto God the Father. In John 19, verse 30, then we read that Christ has spoken those precious words on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. And in Revelations chapter 21, verse 16, then it is written, it is done. Then the Holy Spirit shall have gathered that elect church that are written in the book of the Lamb. And when the last one has been gathered, then immediately, then Christ shall appear upon the clouds of heaven, upon his great white throne, to judge the quick and the dead, young and old. when the Lord is speaking unto this earth and unto us and our children in special ways, it is true. When it may be our lot to live in southern Alberta, and when we look outside of the window and everything so peaceful, the birds may still sing the praises of the Lord, and then it is hard to fathom and to realize everything that has taken place. In the book of Revelation, then that warfare is declared, and that Christ is conquering, that he is the conqueror over death, over hell, over the red dragon that is the devil, over the beast, and over the false prophet. When we read the book of Revelation, a difficult book to understand, of course, to understand it rightly, then we need the light of the Holy Spirit, a symbolic language, much similar to symbolic language used in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and other books. Then when we read the book of Revelation, then there can be many questions, maybe at the moment, that parents, family circles are reading in the book of Revelation. Maybe young people and boys and girls, when you read the Bible before you go to bed, then at the moment you are reading in this book, and that maybe many times you are confused, an impression that the Lord is speaking of solemn things, that he is speaking of the end times. But maybe when you are reading that book, then you read of Christ coming again to judge the quick and the dead upon the clouds of heaven. And then some chapters later, then by renewal, then you read of Christ coming to judge the quick and the dead. Then maybe you have many questions. Then we must understand that it seems that that book of Revelation is written in 7 parallel sections, and that each section that speaks of the time between Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and his coming again to judgment, and therefore different times in the book of Revelation, we read of a second coming. And now in this chapter, in this book, then the old Apostle John has been banished to the island Patmos under Caesar Domitian, this Caesar that has reigned over the Roman Empire after Titus, and then that Caesar enmity against the church. The reasons are not fully known, but undoubtedly, then the Caesars, they have also seen and experienced in their dominion that the heathen temples were becoming emptier, that the heathen priests did not have so much to do, and then an enmity, then the Christians, and it is true for those Caesars, then they could not distinguish so much between the Jews and the Christians, and then they were bitterly persecuted in different ways, many times varied from one locality to the other, depending on the governor. And now historians tell us that the book of Revelation, that it was written by the old Apostle John in the year 95, after the birth of Christ, and then the punishment of that Caesar was that he has taken John and that he has banished him on the island of Patmos. It was an island about 24 miles west of Asia Minor in the midst of the Mediterranean Sea, about 50 miles west of the congregation of Ephesus, where the old apostle was given to labor. Then we can understand when that old John, when he was on the island of Patmos, how lonely he must have felt. And we live in a day that there are many in a certain sense that are isolated. Oh, ask the old ones in Bethesda in their home, when it is so different when it was in former days, when you could receive many visitors. But then let us under these circumstances consider our manifold blessings that hitherto the Lord has placed a special wall around about us, also around our elderly ones. And oh, if that old apostle could come to visit our elderly ones, and they wouldn't burden themselves concerning the circumstances, then I think John would say, how privileged you are above where I have been on that island of Patmos, completely separated from all mankind. I could not speak to no one but to the Lord alone. And then you are still lovingly cared for. Then you still have many blessings. But now the blessing, for the old apostle when he was banished, that the heavens were opened. Then it is clear that old John, that his thoughts have multiplied. We read in chapter 1, verse 10, that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Then our children can understand where the old minister was busy with, that he has looked across the waters, that he has thought about the congregation of Ephesus, wondering whether the boys and girls and young people, the older ones, were hearkening to the word of God, whether the congregation was given to remain steadfast, not to compromise with the world, because the churches in those days, they have lived in the midst of the heathens, whether theaters and sports arenas, wondering whether the congregations were watching and praying, whether there were many Aarons and Hurs, even among the boys and girls that have remembered their old minister. Then for the old John, then the prayers have been multiplied, but now the privilege and the blessing. What a privilege it is when there may be those times when we are separated, when we are alone from the hustle and the bustle of the world. The Lord has many means, not only with the virus, sometime by sickness and other circumstances, that we are separated, that we are so overwhelmed, and that we are given to feel lonely. Then it can be not saying that it was so with John, but then we can also be filled with self-pity. But now the privilege, the old apostle, then he was given to experience the communion with the angels and with the saints in heaven. Then for the old apostle, it was an unforgettable time. Shall the Lord then forsake his child? No. He has engraven them upon the palms of his hand, and to that end, then he was given to receive instruction concerning the warfare here below. Then in chapter 1, the heavens were opened, and he received a vision of the exalted Christ walking in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Then in chapter 4, and that brings us to our text, then the old apostle, then the heavens were opened, and then he saw the Lord sitting on a glorious throne, and that throne was surrounded by 24 elders, pointing to the 12 tribes of the Old Testament, the 12 disciples of the New Testament, and then that throne was surrounded by 4 beasts, the one as a lion, another as a calf, the one with the face of a man, and the third as a flying eagle, representing the holy angels, because then they have cried out, as they have done in Isaiah 6, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And then they were given to worship, and then they have sung, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive a glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And then the old apostle, then in chapter 5, then he saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. What is the meaning of that book, of that roll? That is the sovereign decree of the Lord, which he shall execute here in the time. And now the old John, then he was given to witness that there was no one. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who was worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven or in earth was able to open the book. And then what has John done? Then we read, "And I wept much." What a blessing. What a privilege to become so old, experienced such wonderful things, to be led so far into the mysteries of salvation, a knowledge of a triune God, and then still to be given to weep much, people of God. How is it with those tears? How long has it been ago? When you think of that first time, then how busy many times you were to hide those tears from your husband, from your wife, from your family, from friends, in the house of God. And now, in the life, Apostle John, the Lord was speaking in special way, bitter persecution, to be all alone on an island, not so big, well, 10 miles from north to south, 6, from west to east, undoubtedly a few birds, some animals, but all alone, separated from his congregation, from friends. And now, of course, there can be much weeping on account of the consequences of sin, and also because of self-pity, but those were not the tears of John. What a blessing, and how is it now, under the solemn speaking of the Lord, where he is speaking so loudly and clearly to the whole earth, also to us and our children. Is there yet a weeping, because of our sins, that we have forsaken the Lord, that we have grieved the Spirit, desecrated his house? Is there yet a weeping? We read of John that he wept much. Are there yet a few souls that are distressed, that are burdened, that may weep? Because for 6 weeks already, you could not come up to the house of God to keep holy day with a multitude. May it please the Lord that he may grant much of that weeping, and with a crying unto the Lord. Ah, for John, what do you think, boys and girls? Do you think that the Lord will now let that John continue to weep? And shall the Lord not comfort those weepers? Ah, that John has experienced, because then he was given to see. And that brings us to our text words. And then we read, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, what a rich and what a special name, John, the Lion. The Lion is the king of animals. Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord reigneth, as we read in Psalm 93, 97, and 99. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that is who John was given to see in our text words. Ah, Moses, in Deuteronomy 33, verse 7, "And this is the blessing of Judah. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and let his hands be sufficient for him, and give him strength from his enemies. He has prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns." Ah, then our text words, that speaks of the lamb. We read in chapter 13, verse 8, "Slain from the foundation of the world, but has been slain in the fullness of time." Ah, the precious Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to come upon this earth, was willing to suffer and to die, was willing to be sacrificed as the Passover lamb, without spot, without blemish, the lamb that was willing to take the sins of his church upon him. Oh, that lamb that opened not his mouth. That lamb was that was given to finish the work of his Father. Oh, he has cried out, it is finished, but he is risen. As the Lion out of the tribe of Judah, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all then they have sung. We read it, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Are we included in that number, congregation? A great multitude which has been redeemed by the Lamb, which shall be gathered and preserved, defended by the Lion out of the tribe of Judah, out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. Has that wonder now taken place? Is the Lord not calling us to examine ourselves under the Lord's solemn speaking, whether we have received grace, whether we may belong to that multitude? And now our text words, Him that was worthy, then we read, And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, then our children can even understand the old apostle when that has taken place concerning the warfare upon this church, the fulfillment of the decree of God, because we read in chapter 1, verse 1, the things that must shortly come to pass. How we must have looked with astonishment and with desire. And I saw when the Lord opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. Then it is clear concerning these first four seals that those four beasts spoken of in chapter 4 that they are referred to, and the first beast was as a lion. And to that end we read in the first voice, first verse, that it was the voice of thunder. In Amos 3, verse 8, we read, The lion hath roared and will not fear. In Psalm 29, verse 4, we read that the voice of the Lord is full of majesty and of power. One of the four beasts saying, Come and see. If those words were necessary for the old John on the island of Patmos, separated from the hustle and bustle of the world, that one of the four beasts still said to John, Come and see. What a necessary word for us and our children. How much there is that distracts us. How much there is that draws aside. Then it is so necessary and profitable. Seems we live in a time that people have trouble with complete silence. They need some noise, whatever it may be. But it is so necessary that there are those times that we may be separated. The Lord, in His great goodness and wisdom, than he has given unto us and our children, one day and seven, that we may think especially of the needs of our never-dying soul. Let us be honest. If the Lord had not given the Lord's Day, then we would be busy in the world 7 days a week. What a blessing, what a gift from heaven. And now in that warfare, there's also included that the enemy, that the devil, is doing everything in his power to erase the two roses left from paradise, that is the institution of marriage and of the Lord's Day. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and beheld a white horse. Let us first sing together. Psalter 128, the stanzas 1 and 3. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper ever near us. We will not fear, though earth be moved, for God is nigh to cheer us. And what follows? Psalter 128, the stanzas 1 and 3. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. Who are we to understand by this white horse and the rider upon the horse? Because then, boys and girls, then you must not only remember the points, but then also to listen closely the meaning of the white, the red, the black, and the pale horse. And then we must understand from our text words that there is first made mention of the white horse, and in the context of the white horse, and then the other horses are mentioned. In Bible times, then the horse, in our day, then horses are also used for plowing and to work on the fields. But in Bible times, then horses, they were a symbol of war. In Job 37, the verses 39, the verses 19 through 25, then wonderful things are written of the horse. Then there is spoken of a strength, that the meet the armed men, they are not afraid, and they turn not back from the sword. Then in Bible times, so oftentimes the horse is mentioned. The Lord has given commandment to the children of Israel that they were not allowed to have horses and chariots, because then they would trust in those horses and chariots instead of the Lord. Then we could perhaps compare horses in Bible times to the air force of certain nations. And how many times in the Bible that we read of those horses and chariots that they have gained great victories. But the children of Israel were commanded, do we not read in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. And now when the old John was given to see, when one of the seals were opened, when that book was opened, when he was given to see that white horse, who are we to now understand by that horse? Then it is clear that white, the color white, refers to purity, to holiness, also to victory. They tell us that oftentimes when the Romans would gain a victory, then the general or the king, he would return riding upon a white horse. When we consider the scriptures, then it is very clear who this white horse and the rider points to. Then in Zechariah 1 verse 8, the first of the night visions of the prophet, then it is written, and I saw by night, and behold a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees. Then it is clear in that vision that red horse that points to the Lord Jesus Christ who would come. Oh, then the prophet was not given to see a white horse, but he was given to see a red horse that points to the suffering and to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we not read in the prophet Isaiah chapter 63 verse 1, who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozrah, Wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, and thy garments that treadeth the winepress? Ah, then it is clear that the prophet Zechariah, that he was given to see that red horse as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time, who would suffer and die. But now in this chapter, then the old apostle, under many questions, oh, banished on the island Patmos, then he was not given to see a red horse, but then he was given to see a white horse. Oh, that points to the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is risen indeed, that he has finished the work which the Father has laid upon him as a servant, that he has fulfilled all that his Father has laid upon him in the state of his humiliation. And now, then, John may behold him as a white horse. And now it is further declared that this white horse with the rider, that it points to the Lord Jesus Christ, further clarified in this book, in chapter 19, verse 11, and there we read, "And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Oh, those precious names, that he is faithful and true for his church, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And then in verse 16 we read that John was given to see that on his vesture was written, "The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings." And now further, let us first turn it unto ourselves. What do we think of the white horse and the rider upon that horse? Or do we not read the Gospel of John, 1 verse 5, that the light has come into the world and the darkness comprehended it not? Do we not read in chapter 3, verse 19, that man loveth darkness because their works are evil? Because that white horse, and the closer we come to that white horse and his holy word, read in Psalm 119, verse 140, that his word is so pure. Then when black sinners come close to that white horse, then their blackness and their vileness shines forth the more, and therefore there is such an enmity against that white horse. Have we ever learned to see as that need? Because we have heard it, Old Testament, first the red horse, before the white horse. Has that need ever been born in our heart? Ah, that we have learned. Maybe we thought that we were pretty good. No, we do not dare to say that we are white. We know that we are sinners. But we are not as black as the world we think. Blessing when we may be kept from the sins of the world. But has it now ever been experienced in our heart that in the light of such a holy, such a majestic, such a just, and a good-doing God, do we not read in Habakkuk 1 verse 13 that he is of pure eyes, them to behold evil, and that he cannot look on iniquity, that we have learned to weep such a sinner and so black, and that separation, then we have to do with those other horses, that pale horse of death, then we cannot appear the presence of the Lord with our sin. And then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to work the need for him that is on that horse that has become so red. But through his victory, he has gained the victory. He sitteth on the white horse. How is it now with that purity and with that whiteness? Have we learned to need? Have we learned to love? Have we learned to bow? Do we not read of Joseph who has received that beautiful name in Genesis 41 verse 45, Zaphnath Paniah, the one language, the revealer of secrets in another language, the Savior of the world? And then the command has been given when Joseph would ride through the streets that everyone had to bow their knee. Of course, was a great difference with that bowing that it was necessary that fathers and mothers also bowed. Because when fathers and mothers would tell their children, say, children, when Joseph comes riding along on his royal chariot, then you must bow. And fathers and mothers did not bow or spoke not respectfully of Joseph, then you can understand what an effect that had on those children, fathers and mothers. How is it with the Lord, with his word, with his law, with his worship? Can your children see that there is sincerity, an awe and respect for the things of the Lord, and that you are busy with that one thing needful? And now we read upon that white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Those boys and girls, you know what a bow and arrow is. And now him that sat on that white horse, he went forth, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ riding upon the white horse of victory, and that he goeth forth also in this day, April 26 of 2020, and that he takes arrows, and that he shoots them in the hearts of the king's enemies. We read of the king in Psalm 45, who was fairer than the children of men, in the verses 3, 4, and 5, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously, because truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. That is the wonderful work of him. And that sitteth upon the white horse, he gathers his church by word and spirit. He rideth especially forth. There have been places. We think of chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches of Asia Minor, where the king is gloriously rode forth, where he has taken many arrows upon his bow, shot them into the hearts of the king's enemies. They have cried out, "Carry me out, for I am wounded." The sinners have been saved. But now they tell us that in those congregations that the white horse is left. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when the white horse may still ride upon us. But now, congregation, we can know it with our mind. We can picture the white horse as declared in the scriptures. But we need an arrow in our heart. What kind of arrow is that, congregation? That is an arrow of love. That is an arrow of conviction. And now, those arrows of him that sitteth upon the white horse, those arrows are so sharp that there is no heart so hard that that arrow cannot penetrate. And many times here below, when you have a hunter, boys and girls can understand it. And when they shoot an arrow, let's say at a deer, that they miss the deer. But with this rider upon the white horse, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he shoots his arrow, then he never misses. And then that arrow shall penetrate into the heart. And then they are conquered, because it is written in our text, going forth conquering and to conquer. And now that white horse is still riding amongst us. It is true, it is different. May that white horse not only be present in a sanctuary, but may in this day that white horse also ride in the midst of many family circles. And that is word. As we read in Hebrews 4 verse 12, that his word is as a sharp two-edged sword. May the prayers be multiplied. May we be given to weep. As with a John, when we consider the condition of the church, and that under all the callings, because that is the comfort for John in this chapter, that there is first spoken of that white horse with a rider, with a bow, with a crown, going forth to conquer, and that the other horses are all under his control and in subjection to the king. What a comfort for us and our children. But now the question is, have we ever become a subject of that rider upon the white horse? Do we know what it is to receive an arrow in our heart? Ah, when that takes place, then we start to weep those bitter and those sweet tears we must close. May it be our prayer. John was exercised much under persecution with the judgments of the Lord. And then, what a comforting vision that he has received Oh, in the midst of those other horses, first the white horse, and that he goeth forth to conquer and to conquering and to conquer. We shall close with what the prophet Jeremiah has declared. Jeremiah 10 verse 7. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. Because congregation, I read Philippians 2. The verses 9 and 10, that this rider upon this white horse has received the name above every name, the name of Jesus. And every knee shall bow before him. Oh, when the King, when he conquers us here in the time, then it is such a willing bowing. But if we shall never learn and be willing to bow before the white horse and the rider, then there shall come a time that it shall be an unwilling bowing. Ah, we have heard it, this chapter, when Christ shall come upon the clouds of heaven, then the unconverted, they shall pray to the mountains. May the Lord grant a prayer for one another. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to take many arrows upon thy divine bow, and in thy sovereignty shoot them in the heart of many of the king's enemies. Ah, we all need that arrow in our heart. Lord, wilt thou shoot in this very day arrows in the hearts of our boys and our girls, of our young people, of the middle-aged, and of the elderly ones. May it please thee under thy solemn speaking to do a great work amongst us. Leave us not to the hardness of our heart. Ah, may the prayers be multiplied. And then we have heard of the old John that he was given to weep. May under thy solemn speaking, may there be much weeping. May there be much intercession between the porch and the altar to cry mightily unto thee, that there may be a great ingathering, and that thou may confirm what thy hand has wrought. Lord, watch over us in this day. May we be given to keep thy Sabbath day holy. And may we be given to gather round about thy holy word in this evening hour, in this afternoon hour, in another congregation. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 200, the stanzas 1 and 3. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest region shall his empire be. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There is an error in the church bulletin. There will be a church service this evening at 7 p.m. There will be a consistory meeting on Thursday, April 28 at 7 p.m. And due to the circumstances at this time, no visitors, please. The second wedding announcement of John, Henry de Kock, and Marie-Christine Dinsberger. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, May the 1st at 11 a.m. with Reverend Aidan Hollander officiating. The first wedding announcement of Jordan Jared Niels and Coralie Adrienne Van Lake. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. And the funeral for Mr. Wim van Wathuizen is scheduled for 11 o'clock in the morning in the Lethbridge Church, and because of the circumstances, only by invitation. Psalter 200, 1 and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.